So for our interview for June and July, I am so pleased to have Catherine Golden with her company Balanced Environments, Creative Feng Shui and Organizing Solutions. So thank you for being with me today, Catherine.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Christine.
So can you tell us a little bit about how our environment affects us?
Absolutely. Your environment basically is a reflection of what's going on in your life. So if you are ideally in harmony with who you are today, where you're going tomorrow, your environment would reflect that. If, however, your environment perhaps is who you were a few years ago and you haven't brought that up to speed, so to speak, it's not that it impedes your progress, but you won't progress quite as quickly. It's like having a silent partner. If you had a business partner who just kind of fed you money but didn't really get too involved but just kind of helped you out whenever you needed the help, mm-hmm. How wonderful would that be? Well, that's basically...
That would be great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Like that. Mm-hmm.
So your environment kind of works the same way. It really helps to feed and support and nurture and really help you recognize who you are and what image you're trying to put out there.
So for me, if, let's say, I left my corporate job to go out on my own and do life coaching on my own, mm-hmm. So probably my environment would want to look differently now than
yes.
It did when I was an employee.
Yes, because now you are moving from employee energy into business owner energy. I would imagine because you're doing it yourself, you're in entrepreneurial energy, mm-hmm. And you want to surround yourself with those things so that when you walk into that office, that's what you feel. It inspires you. It makes you walk in there and feel like, wow, I'm a business owner. I'm not just, you know, Christine 10 pegs down on somebody's food chain, so to speak.
Right.
And it's amazing how just some of the things that we bring into our office, our chairs, our desks, the positions, the tools we use, the systems that we set up, how we function, when we do that very effectively, very efficiently, and it's in harmony with what are your goals, what are you trying to accomplish, why are you walking in that office in the morning, what is your goal, why are you here, when you set your whole space up to help you achieve that, it just happens so much more effortlessly.
Now, one of the things that you use in your practice is feng shui.
Correct.
So how do you use feng shui, or how does feng shui affect our environment?
Well, basically, everything that I've commented on, that all has to do with feng shui. And again, what I want to make sure is everything is in what would be called a command position. In other words, ideally you're facing a door. Ideally you're behind a midline of an office. These things aren't always possible depending upon the space, but there are certain principles that I'm looking for when I'm going in there that, given a perfect world, this is how I would like the office set up that, again, just kind of continues to elevate you to the best possible position and function in what you're trying to do. It can also involve the actual tools that you're using, how many things you have, if you're a visual person or not. I mean, all those things come into play. A huge part of it also, I will say, are the non-essentials, such as your artwork, the decorative items that you bring in. None of those things is essential to functioning.
Right.
Therefore, they can almost sometimes play a larger role because your subconscious is sort of involved in picking those out. You technically could take a couple of file cabinets and a plank and create a desk.
Right.
What you hang on your wall is extremely subconscious, subjective. So those are the things that you don't have to have there to function. Therefore, strangely enough, sometimes those can be even more meaningful in what kind of energy you're creating in your office.
So we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. In terms of, let's just say I have a desire to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So in my bedroom, I probably don't want to have artwork that reflects anything singular, like we talked about having two, even flowers or,
exactly.
or two candle holders or something like that.
Exactly.
Pairs.
Exactly, because in your bedroom, if you're trying to attract a relationship, that is a union. It's two. It's two energies that are coming together in harmony. And again, just because you have to take it to the next level, just because it's two doesn't mean it's in harmony.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can have two people and there's a tree between them and one's standing with their back looking off in one direction, the other one's standing on the opposite side looking off in the other direction. If you can get that mental image, mm-hmm. that may not be the most harmonious relationship. Doesn't mean it isn't correct. Maybe that's what you want. Maybe you just want somebody else there and you're looking off doing your thing and your vision and the other person's looking off doing their vision. But be very careful and very selective. How does that make you feel? When you look at that picture, is that the energy and the type of person that you would want to attract? And you'll know. Once you've kind of put together a list of, gee, who is this person I'm looking for? I'm assuming it's not just someone with a pulse.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but some people do that. Oh, I want a relationship, and then you ask them what they're looking for, and they kind of glaze over like, you know, deer in the headlights, and they can't give you any qualities or characteristics of this person. And then they get extremely annoyed when somebody comes into their life who's just not perfect, and it's like, well, what did you ask for?
Right.
You asked for a person. Well, what did you get? You got a person.
Right.
So don't complain. You weren't specific.
Right, right.
So it's the same thing. When you're choosing your artwork, choose something that reflects What is that I'm trying to attract? Same thing definitely in business. That might be a place where if you have singular artwork and you have a single woman and you want to be a strong, powerful woman who stands out in your field, then that might be the location where you might want to have that type of a piece of artwork. If you're trying to build up a whole community or a whole enterprise, there might be other people in there with you at the helm. I mean, the possibilities are endless. But again, it should reflect the energy of whatever your vision is. I went into an executive's office one time from a quote-unquote feng shui standpoint. His office, the layout of it from that standpoint, was pristine. There was nothing. I wouldn't have moved his desk or anything else. It was gorgeous. It wasn't messy. He had everything set up beautifully, et cetera, et cetera. But one of his complaints was he just wasn't going anywhere. He felt he was kind of just stale in this company, and they weren't promoting him the way he thought they should, and he was just kind of really getting upset with what was going on. And so I asked him, I said, well, do you feel that you're just sort of at a stalemate and things aren't progressing and you're just kind of stuck here? And he said, yeah. And I said, no matter what happens, you just can't move. And he said, yeah. And there were several other questions. I need to cover those now, but that along those sorts of lines. And I said, well, if you would turn around, please look at the piece of artwork behind you. And behind him was an absolutely gorgeous piece of artwork. I'm sure it was extremely expensive. It was from his, like, personal collection. It was a beautiful shot of a marina with all of the boats docked and tied up. In the marina.
Fascinating, fascinating.
So he just kind of looked at it, and he looked back at me, and I said, every question I asked you came from the energy I was seeing in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that sounds to me like what is happening in your position. And he said, yeah, it is. I said, well, this is a lovely picture. I'm sure it was extremely expensive. It might work beautifully in a study. And he happened to love boats, and he happened to love the sail and whatever. So it doesn't mean the picture is bad. It's just the energy that it was evoking wasn't the proper place for it. So I said, gee, maybe you could take it home and put it in your study or something, or there's somewhere else at home, and I would get something here to hang back that is kind of showing someone who's maybe moving down a path. There might be a waterway where you can easily navigate, and you can see that you have some place where you're going. Where's your journey leading you? You know, where is this career taking you? So he did that, and a little while later, a headhunter actually called, and he left the company.
Wow.
So it's that kind of thing that can really, really be powerful, and we really have to realize that the power of feng shui is that everything is alive. Everything, even though it appears to be inanimate, everything has energy to it. So those little artifacts that you bring in, do it with care. Do it with thought. Look at them as if you're inviting people into your house or into your office or into any space that you're dealing with, because they are all vibrational. I mean, quantum physics has shown that you can take it down to a level where that table is, those little atoms are all vibrating, even though it appears to be solid and standing still and not doing anything. So everything's emanating energy, and you want to make sure that whatever you bring in is what you want to be there.
Wow, that's just so interesting, that feng shui.
It is. It's you know, people think it's extremely complicated, and to some degree there is an extreme sophistication to it, to a bit, but it's also it's very simple concepts that you can really apply in any circumstances, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing.
Now, the other side of your practice is organization.
Yes.
And I am just really curious about some of the reasons why some people are actually so unorganized.
Well, we could be on the phone for hours for that one. you know, there's a lot of different reasons. I think some people just by nature tend to be very proficient, very organized, and I know I have an ability to see things and just be able to look at things and go, oh, this should go over here and that should go there. And it's just, I don't know if it's a little organizing gene I was born with or not. At the same time, I think we all have times in our lives when no matter how organized we have been, circumstances come up and we get a bit disorganized.
Right.
So one of the reasons why people can be disorganized is a change of circumstances. If you're a single person just going to work, I guarantee you, you're going to probably have a lot less complication in your life than a woman who is married with two children who's running her own business. You just put about four or five chinks on her little scale,
right,
that are going to really affect her ability to flow smoothly.
Right.
So that doesn't mean that it can't happen, but a lot of times what we have to do is stand back, look, and go, wow, what's going on here and what needs to be adjusted? Sometimes we have to let go of things. Sometimes we need to delegate. A lot of the reason if people collect paperwork all the time, it's merely a lack of decision making. A lot of times we will get something in the mail. I know I do it myself occasionally, mm-hmm. where you'll get something in the mail and you go, oh, wow, that looks cool, but I have to think about it. Mm. I'm not willing to make a decision right this second. Well, if you do that 20 times a day, depending on what your volume of mail is, times 5 days a week, you've now got 100 delayed decisions. Now, multiply that times number of months, and that's where we walk in and we see the 5-inch piles.
Right.
That are sitting around somebody's office because there's things that have not been handled. And usually the rule is if it's going to take you a minute or less, just do it.
Right.
People can be afraid to make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. That's oftentimes something that will kind of paralyze them, I guess you could say. Sometimes it is a matter of not having the right systems. And they don't know where things, they might make a decision, but then they have to file the paper. Well, I don't have a system, so I'll just stick it over here. Then something else comes in, and, well, that's an action item, and so, well, I'll just stick it over here. And they're sticking all this stuff over here. And, again, pretty soon we've got the 5-inch pile on the desk, and it's a conglomeration of a lot of things that need to be done. It could be just a matter of not having the right container for something. If somebody doesn't have a workable, relatively simple file system set up, then they may have done whatever they need to do with this thing. They may have paid the bill and now they got the receipt, but they don't have something set up properly, so again, it goes into the pile.
Right, so there's not a home.
There's not a home. If you don't, everything in your house, your workplace, your space, no matter how simple it is, should have a home. And some method of containerizing, so to speak, that's where we get with the junk drawers, with the stuff kind of thrown all over the place,
mm-hmm.
because it's just this, it's a home, but it's not broken down and compartmentalized, and you just kind of start throwing stuff in there. So pretty soon you got pens and papers and pencils and who knows what, and, oh, well, I don't know where to put it, so, ooh, boom, you open the door and you just kind of throw it in there. That's how those things kind of start to happen. And then they, during the night, the little clutter multipliers come in and the little gremlins are there, and pretty soon you got two drawers of junk and then three drawers and the five piles. And pretty soon you walk in your office one day and go, oh, my God, I need to cut a path to the desk.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. And it can happen that way. Just it starts simple and it just sort of multiplies unknowingly. Some people do think there's almost like little clutter gremlins out there that come in the middle of the night and
right.
rustle stuff up.
Whatever works for you.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be, I don't want people to think either that it has to be an extremely complicated system. Organization means what works for you. And
right.
that's the whole point. What level of organization I need to feel comfortable and function may be 180 degrees different than what you need and the next person and the next person needs. So don't feel that just because your neighbor or your coworker is doing one thing that you're not an organized person if you're not doing that. If you're functioning, and if I say, gee, Christine, can you show me your receipts from January, and you effortlessly reach over and, boom, pull out a folder and hand them to me, in my opinion, you're organized. Because you did it effortlessly, instantly, there it is.
And I had a home.
And you had a home for it, and it was containerized.
Right. I like to think of organization as like a kindergarten classroom.
Exactly.
Everything has a home. There are appropriate containers for whatever it is. And when the teacher tells the kids it's time to clean up, the kids know exactly where everything goes, and cleanup goes by pretty smoothly and quickly.
You're absolutely correct. And the simpler that you can make it, also the more likelihood that you're going to maintain it. I think that's the trouble sometimes. A lot of people who, first of all, it's extremely overwhelming. If you have all these piles and stacks and things have kind of gotten out of hand, reverting back to the feng shui, getting rid of clutter is really the first step of feng shui, and that's kind of how I incorporated the organizing into my business, because I saw so many people who wanted feng shui help, but when I would go to help them, there were just piles all over the place. And it was like, gosh, you know, before we can move your desk around or bring in a new piece of artwork, the most effective thing we can do here is to get rid of the clutter and help organize, containerize, give a home to everything that's left over. And so what happens is when you look at that and you go, gee, if I'm running smoothly and all that kind of stuff is working simply, then if it works, you're organized.
That's a beautiful thing. So I know this seems like a very obvious question, but I would just love to hear your answer. What are the benefits of being organized?
What are the benefits of being organized?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the primary benefits, I think, is peace of mind, because the thing with being organized, and when I say you need to be organized enough so that your life runs smoothly for you, whatever that definition is. Number one, you're saving a lot of time. You will be saving space. Consequently, you will be saving money.
Right.
But to me, the huge one is the mental clarity that you get, the sense of peace, that things are running smoothly, and when life maybe throws us a curveball, your whole world does not come apart. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, gee, if all of a sudden some huge project gets dumped on me or there's some emergency that might come into my life, that I'll be able to cope. Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to handle that, because by just adjusting a little bit, I'll be able to reorganize and embrace that and be able to manage it and take care of it without my whole world unraveling. When you're running around hyperventilating because you can't find your black shoes in the morning and you don't know where your lipstick is and where are my keys and now I'm running late and, oh, gosh, don't forget the briefcase, but do I have the files I need? I mean, just even talking about that, does that not kind of wear you out?
Yeah.
I mean, you just want to go, whoa, wait a minute, let me sit here and take a breath. I'm getting exhausted just listening to this.
Yeah, it's a little anxiety-provoking, so never mind a big project coming on.
Yeah.
Just everyday
life. This is just your daily life.
Right.
This is how people very often function. And then you get to the office, and somebody calls and says, gee, Christine, I'd like to find out about something you might be able to present to us, and you're looking at the 5-inch stack on your desk going, oh, my God, I know what she wants is in here somewhere, and you have to say, well, let me call you back in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you just lost 5 minutes out of your day, if you can find it in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that whole sort of almost hyperventilating, like shallow breathing. Okay, I call it shallow breathing. It's that you're breathing up here shallow as opposed to taking nice, deep, oh, certainly, no problem, Catherine. I have that information right here. Now, did you want plan A or plan B?
Right.
And, oh, let me just reach over and get my day timer. And when did you need to book that?
Very good.
And you can just feel that, how much more peaceful that is, and that can become your way of life. Now, again, we all have little things that happen and the oops that occurs from time to time, but that also, if you're running or you're working from that kind of a clarity and a mental focus, your clarity increases.
Right.
Your focus increases. Therefore, everything you do becomes more effective. When you are setting those goals, it becomes more effortless because you have a vision. You're not worried about stepping over the 3 boxes to get to the door and you might trip. You just don't go there anymore. So there's a lot of actual physical benefits of the time, the money, the space, etc., as well as the mental and emotional benefits, which, again, depending on how, if you're a bottom liner, then, hey, you can save 15 minutes to an hour a day times 5 days a week times however many weeks a year you work times whatever you're making per hour. It's huge.
Yeah, that's
huge.
A lot of time and money potentially.
Oh, my God. It's anywhere from probably a few thousand dollars if you're just looking at a very, very minimal amount of time and maybe not making that terribly much. But, you know, imagine an attorney billing it, you know, $250, $300 an hour, saving an hour a day.
Right.
I mean, my God, in 1 week, if my math is correct, there's $1,500.
Right.
Times 50 weeks, you have a serious chunk of change.
Right.
That you're leaving on the table that without coming in 5 minutes earlier to work and without leaving 5 minutes later, you could bill an extra hour a day. Or how about if one of your goals is to spend more time with your kids, you come in the same time every day, you bill that extra hour, and guess what? Now you can go home an hour earlier, and you're still billing what you were the day before, but you're working an hour less. So you can use it however it suits you.
Wow.
You know, if you're looking at, oh, gosh, I just don't have enough space here, and you get rid of the clutter that you don't need, your alternative is to rent storage space at, you know, who knows how much per month.
Right.
Or you have to get a bigger office at who knows how much per square foot. So now, cha-ching, you got extra expenses going out versus, do you really need to hang on to that?
Right.
So there's all kinds of actual bottom line stuff, if that is your focus. Or if you're more, gee, I want some peace of mind, I want to feel better, et cetera, which I think even if people don't admit that, even the just straight bottom liners, you can't tell me that they don't like exhaling and feeling good when they come to work and working a little more effortlessly.
Oh, I'm sure. There's no price for
right.
peace of mind, whether
yeah.
that's in your home environment or your work environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, I believe there's, I don't I'm apologetic because I don't have the name of the author, but I believe there's someone who has a book that says it's hard to make a difference if you can't find your keys. And I just really love that. It's very simple, but it's true. You know, if you have these lofty goals about, you know, I'm going to be the best this or that in the world, and boy, I want to make this and that and whatever, and you're not sure where your keys are, good luck.
Wow, that is definitely a good point.
Yeah, it kind of takes it back to that kindergarten thing, you know. If you can't put the crayons back, how are you going to make the art piece effectively?
Right.
If you can't find the blue crayons.
Right, very, very good point. So if one of the people listening to this interview would like to have a consultation mm-hmm. with you, and before I even ask that question, I'll just let everybody know that the author is Marilyn Paul, P-A-U-L.
That's correct.
It's hard to make a difference when you can't find your
That is absolutely correct. I apologize for not having that
That's
in front
okay.
of me.
It's a seven-step path to becoming truly organized. So, Catherine, again, if someone wants to have a consultation with you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
The best way is to contact me by phone, actually, because
okay.
I would like them to be able to chat with me. I offer a free phone conversation to see if we're going to be a fit, to find out exactly what it is they would like and what they're looking for and why they're picking up the phone or what they hope to be able to have me help them do, to make sure that I'll be able to do that for them. And my business phone is 858-481-5191.
Great.
And I will even give them my cell phone number.
Okay.
And my cell phone number is 619-890-5454.
And your website address?
My website is www.balanced, that's B-A-L-A-N-C-E-D, with a dash or hyphen, depending on what you call it, environments, environments.com. So balanced-environments.com. And my email is cg@balance-environments.com. They can reach me by email, but I really prefer to talk to them in person. It just really kind of helps establish a rapport and see if we're a good fit for one another.
Excellent. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time today, Catherine.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I always enjoy talking about this. And also, if any of your listeners have a need for someone to come into a group of theirs or to give a class, I love doing presentations and public speaking, that type of thing. So they can also contact me about that.
Oh, good to know. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Christine.